Just going through the top stories on globalnews.ca. This one is, it's scary, man. A woman in New Brunswick, she was out at a nightclub in Fredericton. And while she was at the nightclub, she thought she saw a guy reach into her purse. She's like, what is going on? What are you stealing from me? So she confronted him, said, did you just steal something from my purse? He's like, no, I didn't steal anything. No, no. So she got home from the club, and she decided to dump her purse out on the table. Found an Apple AirTag in her purse.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
So he put it in her purse to follow her home, essentially.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Robber or whatever his intentions were. I don't think they were good intentions. Because
God, it would have been awesome if she would have taken the bus home and left her purse on the bus, and he's chasing the bus around the city for hours. But that's terrifying how quickly, because it's just a small thing. You could put it in somebody's purse.
Well, we've heard about car thieves using them, right? If they see a really nice car in a parking lot, they'll slap an AirTag on it and then follow the signal to go steal the car from the driveway later that night.
Jeez, man, that's terrifying.
It's a story from BC. Back in 2023, same thing happened. A woman was stalked using an Apple AirTag, and she was murdered.
My God. See, because those things, they are handy, but how do you stop them from being used like that?
Yeah, they're handy to find your luggage.
Yeah, right? And just to keep in your car, keep in your tools, whatever, like whatever you want to do. They got great reasons. Put them on your keys, whatever. But man, yeah, that's scary. Everybody gets to be Batman or Spider-Man with their tracking devices. Basically, you can throw it on somebody and track them wherever.
Yeah, you put the little spider clingy thing, legs on it. And I used to read that in the comic books, and I'd be like, Spider-Man would use that spider tracker. For some reason, I could suspend disbelief when it came to him creating his own web fluid and swinging around the city. But I just wasn't buying that spider tracker. Yeah.
Oh, so there's going to be a global positioning system? There's no way. Turns out anybody can afford it.
And then he'd have his watch, and he'd look at the watch, and there'd be like a little spider on the screen.
He took the time to make an emoji for his software.
Tracking where the Green Goblin was headed. Yeah. Doot, doot, doot. Peter Parker was a pretty smart guy.
Fiction is reality, though, these days with tech.
Yeah. It's pretty wild that this exists. And kudos to this woman for speaking up, because she didn't have to call the local news, but she did because she wanted other women to know that this is something that they should be aware of and watch out for.
And scarily enough, she opened it and dumped her purse out at home. So by then it's almost too late.
Right. Yeah, it's too bad you didn't find it earlier, and like you said, you maybe throw it into a
garbage truck or something like that.
Or I'm thinking like their neighbor's backyard with five pit bulls.
Yeah. Zoo? The lion's cage
at the zoo? Yeah, so just be aware that this is something that is possible in this day and age with the technology that exists. A woman finding an Apple AirTag in her purse after a night out. It was daughter daddy night last night. I took my 4-year-old daughter Amelia to Eastside Mario's for dinner. But while I was there, I started thinking about, because they have a great deal on Tuesdays at Eastside Mario's. If you're an adult, you buy an entree and then you get a kid's meal for $2. And this day and age with the price of everything, I was like, man, I bet there's a lot of people who are trying to order off kids' menus.
Yeah, why not? Like, can they stop an adult? Do they ID, reverse ID you to make sure you're...
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that a guy in his 40s is not a 12-year-old.
But if you're on the cusp, if you're like 22 and you could be 17.
I think if you have a good rapport with your server, they're not going to question you, but they can shut you down.
What if you say, I got a kid at home who's sick? Can I get another kid's meal?
Yeah, maybe. Well, I looked into it here, and there was a recent poll done. 77% of adults think that you should be able to order off the kids' menu.
Yeah, I think I don't see a problem with it. Well, it depends. If it's a super price break like what you're talking about, that's clearly just for children. But if it's like a small hot dog that's only available on the kids' menu and that's whatever you want to eat that day.
Sometimes you only want two chicken fingers, right?
Sure. And sometimes you want them to be shaped like dinosaurs. What's wrong with that?
21% of people say they've tried to order off the kids' menu before and a third of them said they've been rejected at least once.
Oh, what does it matter to the waiter?
I understand from a restaurateur perspective, it's an incentive. The cheap kids meal is an incentive to get the whole family to come out and eat.
Yes, yes.
And you make your money off the full-priced entrees. So I do understand it. But I also do enjoy ordering off a kid's menu every once in a while. I'm lucky because my kids just usually order off the kid's menu, don't finish their food, and I end up eating
it. Yeah. Legendary move. Order off the kid's menu, but also get a beer.
Says this comes with apple juice. Can I substitute a Guinness, please?
Yeah, maybe a cider. Whatever you got.
They've come out with some serious merchandise over the years, linked to the Star Wars franchise. I'm surprised this one took so long. My favorite part of this story is how repulsed Jim Kelly is by it, by the way. Star Wars Blue Milk is hitting stores in the U.S. April 17th. It is coming out May the 4th, as in May the 4th be with you.
Of course it is, yeah.
And you may remember Blue Milk from the original Star Wars in 1977, A New Hope.
I don't, actually.
When Luke is sitting at the table talking with Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen about his aspirations in life, and they've got the Blue Milk sitting on the table.
Okay.
You never noticed that, Jim?
No, and I've never heard anybody even mention it. The Blue Milk I'm familiar with is from the second newest Star Wars movie, where he's milking this weird alien on the island. This is Luke Skywalker milking the alien, and then he drinks it in front of Rey, and it purposely looks disgusting. The nipple feature it comes out of is disturbing. And when Luke Skywalker drinks it, he grimaces like, this is disgusting, but it's all I got.
When he's tapping it right from the source.
The whole thing. And like, people after that movie came out were like, what was up with that Blue Milk scene? Like people were disgusted by it. I don't understand why they thought this is a great marketing opportunity.
So you don't want to head down to the cantina with me later, Jim? Oh. Have a couple warm glasses of blue Star Wars milk?
No. The whole point was it looked weird.
Yeah, that alien was not an attractive alien either. The head looked
the
like...
The uncircumcised alien?
Yeah,
that
the head looked like an earthworm, I was going to say.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, they are coming out with Blue Milk. They say it's vanilla flavored with blue food coloring.
Okay.
It's got the official Star Wars logo and Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker on the label. So it is a Star Wars product.
I'd like it better if it was like blue eggnog or something like that. Just so it was more of a novelty. If there was some booze in it or something, maybe I'd go for it. But just for the flavor...
Well, it's funny you mentioned booze because we posted a picture of the Blue Milk on the Taz and Jim Facebook page and asked listeners, if there was a fictional food that you could try, what would it be? And most of them are alcohol related here, the responses we're getting.
Yeah, Joanne says butter beer, which I'm pretty sure is from Harry Potter. Kathy says Romulan air, which is from Star Trek. Bruce says Elsinore beer, which I'm pretty sure is from Bob and Doug, Strange Brew, the Stubbies.
There's a mouse Elsinore in the bottle. Yeah, you want an Elsinore?
People are saying Duff from The Simpsons.
I'm pretty sure Duff tastes pretty similar to Miller Lite or a Bud Light.
Oh, I think Bud for sure is what I picture every time I hear the word Duff. Fud.
And the butter beer, I think you can order those at the Harry Potter attraction. Is it Universal Studios?
Yeah, or Disney World.
Yeah.
One of the places.
Probably not as good as you imagine it would be. And probably way overpriced.
Yeah. A lot of fake booze, though. But like, a lot of food looks good on TV that you're like, you see them eat it, and you're like, I could go for it. Like, I remember watching Scooby-Doo and those big-ass sandwiches Shaggy would rock once in a while.
Or a Scooby snack. I always wanted to try a Scooby snack.
That?
They went crazy for them.
Must be speed.
Hey, I really need somebody who has seen the new Ghostbusters movie to call me and let me know if I'm making a big mistake.
Okay.
I have committed to taking my 7-year-old son this afternoon at 3:30 to the new Ghostbusters movie. And we were discussing earlier in the week about, or last week we were talking about... seeing a movie when you're young and how you never forget that first time you're scared in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if this is going to be it for him.
So it's almost like a rite of passage.
Yeah.
That you need to get
it's
it out of the way.
It's got to happen eventually, right?
I mean, I feel like you could pick a lot worse movies than Ghostbusters, but I haven't seen this one. I have a feeling it's no movie. Things back in the day were way scarier than they are now. Everything's kind of like sanitized. Like
yeah,
the costumes
true.
Were weird, like the scary costumes and scary puppets and stuff like that.
Even movies that were like full on kids movies
yeah.
were scary
like,
back
I'm thinking
in the
like,
day.
I've said the story before, but like Ernest Scared Stupid to me was a terrifying movie yeah. in the early 90s.
The Never Ending Story and
oh,
Labyrinth.
Yeah. Labyrinth, man. Freaky.
Hey, it's Taz and Jim. Who's this?
This is Matt Love. I was your Ghostbusters Mr. Know-It-All about 15 years ago.
Okay,
wow.
So you are a Ghostbusters super fan, a good guy to ask this question to. Is the Frozen Empire Ghostbusters movie too scary for a 7-year-old?
No, I took my 7-year-old on Saturday, and she loved it.
Excellent.
No scary moments at all? They weren't going for that at all? Or was there moments that she didn't mind?
No, there was no really scary moments, but again, she's been very immersed in the last 4 films or whatever that came out anyway.
Would you say the first Ghostbusters is scarier than the new Ghostbusters?
The jump scare at the beginning, yes.
Yeah, with the librarian. That's mm-hmm. the one we're kind of worried about.
But then again, like I said, they try to redo it in this one. It doesn't come across as scary, but it's fine.
All right. And was it good? Was it worth going to see?
It's not in the top 3 movies, but it's worth it.
Isn't there only 4?
What is there, 5? Well, there's the one with the ladies.
The worst of all of them.
Right?
The one with the ladies, the ladies are last for sure. But then again, you got to look at the different mindset of that one. It wasn't made for us fans. It was made for a new generation.
Right. So it goes Ghostbusters 1, Ghostbusters 2, Ghostbusters Afterlife, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, Ghostbusters Ladies.
Yeah.
It was made for the new generation, but I don't think they liked it either. Let's be serious.
Here is the governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, talking about the bridge collapse after that giant cargo ship crashed into the support beams on their bridge earlier this week.
Our state is in shock. To our first responders, I'm in awe of you. You saw a crisis, and you said, what can I do to help? And our response teams are doing everything in our power to rescue and recover the victims of this collapse, literally as we speak. All of our hearts are broken. We feel your loss, but Maryland, we will get through this because that is the Maryland spirit, and that's what Maryland is made of. We are Maryland tough, and we are Baltimore strong.
Yeah, Jim and I were watching this video yesterday on the air. You may have heard us reacting, and it just surreal to see this entire bridge collapse. And when you hear the size, like to put it in perspective, the Francis Scott Key Bridge opened in 1977. It was over 1.6 miles long, and a huge chunk of that just collapsed directly into the water. It also puts into perspective the size of that boat, because the boat looks huge.
Yeah.
When you think about the fact the bridge is 1.6 miles long.
Oh, then that's how big the boat is, too.
The boat is 984 feet long.
Yeah, that's long.
Which is a massive boat. So a lot of people, like we were saying yesterday, thank God it happened in the middle of the night. I mean, it's no consolation for anyone who is family or friends who lost their lives, because people have been assumed dead. There was a construction crew working on the bridge.
Yeah, a few of them have been recovered. I think I think 6 are still missing, unfortunately.
Yeah, a couple were pulled out of the water, and imagine what that would be like for them. But if this had happened during rush hour, this is like the major artery in and out of Baltimore, this could have been catastrophic. This will give you a sense of what it was like in the seconds. They had seconds to respond leading up to the collapse. They knew that the power on the ship became an issue, so the ship lost power with their steering. They could not maneuver the boat. It looked like it was going directly for the bridge support, and they sprung into action. This is what it would have sounded like. A little perspective on the moments leading up to that bridge collapsing.
I need one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side. Hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic.
I'm en route to the south side.
Yeah, if we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now. There's a crew up there. You might want to notify whoever the foreman is, see if we can get them off the bridge temporarily.
10-4, once the other unit gets here, I'll ride up on the bridge.
C-13 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
Do we know if all traffic will stop?
I can't get to the other side, sir. The bridge is down.
C-13, I'm holding all traffic northbound.
How do you stay that calm during something like that? You know, like, kudos to
I think before the bridge collapsed, I don't even think that it would, they in their wildest imagination, would have guessed that the bridge would have collapsed.
Yeah, but even after, man, I would be like, oh my God, the bridge is down. This is crazy. The traffic in Baltimore is going to be a mess for a while. Also, as we were talking about yesterday, major shipping lane, so they need to get that thing cleaned up and get it moving again as soon as possible. President of the United States said there was no indication of terrorism. Obviously, everything will be investigated. Also saying the federal government should assist in rebuilding the bridge. The shipping hub is blocked off completely, indefinitely, and there's about 15,000 jobs depending on getting that thing back open. But condolences to those in Baltimore, and kudos to the first responders who acted very quickly under some serious pressure.
Devin Peacock.
I want to see you peacock, cock, your peacock.
Time for sports. Devin Peacock is our sports guy. He is here. Let's talk about the new NFL kickoff rules. Owners just approved a revamped kickoff play. They are taking an idea from the XFL, bringing it to the NFL. I'll just read this description here, Dev. During the 2024 season, kickers will continue to kick from the 35-yard line, but the other 10 players on the kickoff team will line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line. At least 9 members of the return team will line up in a setup zone between the 35 and 30-yard lines. Up to 2 returners can line up in a landing zone between the goal line and the 20-yard line. No one other than the kicker and returner can move until the ball hits the ground or hits a player inside the landing zone. Touchbacks will be marked at the 30-yard line, and no fair catches will be allowed.
There you go. The no fair catches is what I would say is kind of really neat. I mean, there's a lot that's within that that's interesting. They're trying to get more action on kickoffs, right, obviously, because it's...
Make them a little more unpredictable.
It's become a touchback situation, especially with them starting at the 35-yard line. I mean, I would have personally moved it back. So you're kicking deeper in your kicking off deeper from your own end zone to allow for the opportunity for there to be some sort of a return. The Pittsburgh Steelers just signed a return guy away from Atlanta. I think we all remember, you know, back in the day, Devin Hester with the Chicago Bears and how exciting it was for him when he was returning kicks, either a punt or a kickoff. It's an exciting part of football that has basically been nullified by the way they've had the rule changes. So I like trying something different. The XFL always seems to be what the XFL comes around, inspires the NFL, then dies, comes back around again.
We steal a bit of it.
Inspires the NFL, and then it dies again. So,
well, this is taking a bit from the CFL as well, right?
Yeah, I think they should get rid of the fair catch entirely, like even for punts. Because that's what they do.
Do you want
CFL
people to die, Devin? Some of those are pretty precarious. Like, there's no the amount of speed somebody can get up to running like half length of that field and nailing that catch, the guy who catches the punt, is some of the most devastating hits you'll see in sports.
Yep.
Awesome. I want to see these guys. How hard is it going to be for them to like stay on the line of scrimmage or whatever you call that line until it hits the ground, until the guy catches? That's going to be hard to judge.
So I was watching randomly. There was a video that came up on my Facebook feed the other day of the sports science guy did a thing where he tried to stop Brandon Jacobs, former running back with the New York Giants. He was a huge running back. He was like 240, 6'4". The power of the hit when he would come in when he was running, and it was enormous. So to your point, there is, you know, a lot of force in these hits, but the CFL makes it work.
Yeah.
I think if it works elsewhere, it can work in the NFL, and I would personally like to see that in the NFL entirely.
I'm sure the owners will pass some of
some of the reasoning off here on concern for the players and concussions and all that, but ultimately it's about how can we make more money, and if there's more excitement to the game, they're going to make more money.
Players are signing up to play still. You know, you don't have to be on special teams. I mean, someone ultimately has to, but the players are signing up to play. You can make it as safe as possible, but nothing's ever 100%.
Quickly, Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, so he's going into the final year of his contract. If I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, I'm a little frustrated with this offseason. They have signed no one of consequence. It's been very quiet, considering at the start of this, Jerry Jones was saying that this is going to be a big offseason for them. They've done nothing, partly because his contract is so large. He's got a $55 million cap hit this year, and so it's limited their cap space. However, he's out of contract at the end of the year, so there's the chance maybe he moves on and Dallas does not have a ready-made backup anywhere on the roster. If I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm a little concerned they haven't done enough for next season.
Taz and Jim, Devin Peacock is here. He's just telling us what's going on in the world, firing off headlines. This would be a pretty big one. They're pretty close to coming up with a cure for HIV.
Yes.
At the University of Western Ontario?
Yes.
In London?
So Western is working with other researchers in the UK and the US, but the injection that would be the cure is going to be made right in London. I was talking to one of the guys that's behind us, and he was trying to like pump the brakes a little bit, like don't write a check for them that they can't cash, but we are closer than ever to there being a cure for HIV, and what they're working on and about to start clinical trials for is when you take drugs for HIV right now, there's a small part of the virus that remains. The injection would target the last little bit that remains, and ultimately, if they're successful, will allow you conceivably to go off all the medication so that you could be cured of HIV. Because if you stop the medication right now, the virus roars back and it eventually becomes AIDS. So it would be a huge
breakthrough.
Step forward when you think of where things began in the 80s with all of this.
You're old enough to remember the epidemic in the 80s and how terrifying that was for so many and heartbreaking, and to see the fundraisers. Jim and I do a lot of fundraisers where we're raising money for different causes, and you know, to see something that you have actively at one point or another, you know, been at an event for where you're raising money to go towards HIV research, and then it's possible that in your lifetime it'll be cured. That gives you hope for everything.
The World Health Organization has set a target of 2030 for there to be a cure, which is, you know, 5.5 years away, a little over 5.5 years, which is a long time, but also not a long time when you're talking about the steps they go through for all of this. So it would be a massive, massive achievement.
And how about London, Ontario, just racking them up? First with the insulin. Old Freddie B.
We got the eternal flame going.
Sir Freddie B with his insulin. And now the cure for HIV, Freddie B and HIV.
Feather in the cap for Western University, London. Yeah,
that would be awesome. That would be big.
It's awesome. I mean, when you like, you look back to, what was it, Philadelphia with Tom Hanks, and just the way people viewed HIV then with Magic Johnson. He had to retire multiple times because we didn't know a whole lot about the virus, and now everything's changed. We know so much more about it, and it's something you can live with your entire life based on the medication they have currently.
A gambling website is looking to hire a wiener connoisseur to measure hot dogs at Major League Baseball parks. Sounds like the perfect job for Yo Mama. BetUS is the website looking to hire a wiener connoisseur to visit all 30 Major League Baseball parks and check out the hot dog wieners at each park.
I am interested, and I would like to see a graphic to scale of all the wieners next to each other when this is accomplished.
Oh, you're truly interested in the wiener size and the heft of the wieners.
100%.
I thought you were interested in visiting all 30 Major League Baseball parks.
I mean, that's okay. I'd rather be a wiener connoisseur. But I do love a good hot dog at a baseball park or like a movie theater. I love getting a hot dog.
They want to know which major league club has the biggest wieners and the smallest wieners. So once you get your hands on a wiener at a baseball park, you will need to measure the length and the girth,
mm-hmm.
and you will have to weigh the wiener. How okay. heavy is it?
Now, when there's a curve in it, I want it around the whole curve, too. I don't want the straight A to B, straight line. It has to go around the measurement, I think, to count.
What are you talking about? What
some
curve?
Wieners are flat, straight, and some are curved. You know, like the thicker sausages come
like
off the grill.
Like when you cook it, it kind of curves a little bit. Yeah. So you want the wiener to be straightened out before it's measured?
Or just perhaps you take a string and put it along the curve and then put it next to a ruler. And I also need
you use like a tailor's.
Yes.
Like a tailor's measuring
on the
tape.
Inseam kind of thing. Yeah. And I also want to see the price point beside it as well.
So this isn't a full-time job, but you won't be paying for any travel. You'll get $2,500. They will buy all the game tickets. And they'll toss in a $500 gift card for MLBShop.com and a subscription to MLB TV. So you're getting something for it, but you're not getting like a salary or anything.
Yeah, it's pretty much you're going to break even, I think, monetarily. But if you make an Instagram page for it.
You have to truly love wieners to commit to this.
Or you become like a wiener influencer. You know, this is your thing. You buy that decommissioned Oscar Mayer wiener mobile, give it a new paint job, drive around the country. It'd be awesome.
You can apply for the job on the website BetUS. Probably just Americans.
I would guess. But they do have to come to Canada
That's
once.
That's right. They got to cross the border. That's probably a stipulation. You got to be able to come across the border to Canada. And go to a Jays game.
Better figure out the metric system before you get here.
Man in Laval, Quebec says he was stung by a scorpion that was concealed in a bunch of bananas that he bought at Costco. Removed the paper around the bananas, felt a sting that was about twice the pain of a wasp sting. The man says he noticed something crawling around in there. It was a scorpion. So he went and got some medical attention. He says he now keeps the scorpion in a jar.
Now who wins? You're my trapped enemy.
Could you see yourself not just crunching that thing with your shoe? I don't know.
Just instinctually.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be saving it in a jar, but.
I mean, yeah, I'd probably kill it before my dogs got after it and then it got stung too.
Yeah, I guess my kids would be a concern.
Yeah. I mean, if you can put it in a jar, though, that is the ultimate win.
Pretty cool. Put it in a tequila bottle.
I'd also like to take it to the hospital with me and be like, is this going to kill me, this scorpion here?
The Sun, this is from The Sun, they reached out to Costco, didn't get a response, but apparently it's not uncommon for scorpions to hitch a ride in grapes or bananas from Central America or the southern United States up into Canada.
A lot of dangerous spiders in those bananas we've heard in the past, too.
This isn't as bad as the guy in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago who was staying at a hotel and he woke up to something stinging his junk.
Yeah.
And realized
his banana.
He got his banana stung by a scorpion. Yeah. That scorpion thought it was just going to hitch a ride to Canada.
Yeah.
Well, here's a bunch of bananas. I'll just nestle in
here. Yeah, go for a long journey.
They're not usually this color.
Oh, there's some grapes in here, too.
Are you brave enough to let me see your peacock?
It's time for sports with our sports guy, Devin Peacock. Another gambling scandal in the world of sport to tell you about. Move over, Shohei Ohtani. We got one closer to home, Dev.
Yes, with the Toronto Raptors, Jonte Porter is away from the team right now. He is being investigated after some unusual gambling activity was noticed. So as anyone who watches sports has no doubt seen. There's all sorts of different lines throughout the games that are promoted. You can bet on the game. You can bet on quarters. You can bet on players. Is a certain player going to score X amount of points, get X amount of rebounds, X amount of assists, play X amount of minutes? And what is alleged for Jontay Porter is that he has been altering his on-court performance, pulling himself out of games. So if you bet the under on him, say it was 6.5 points, it was 3 rebounds, it was 2 assists, if you bet the under, you would win money. There have been a couple instances. They're looking at one in particular where a lot of money was won on the under for Jontay Porter, which is very unusual because he is not a main guy on the Raptors. He is a bench player. Why would a lot of people be betting a lot of money on Jontay Porter?
I wonder how much the spike was.
Yeah.
Like suddenly one week, hundreds of thousands of dollars bet on this guy, and the next week there's like $50 million bet on the guy.
And they go, this is an anomaly here. This is weird. And they hit.
It's not unusual for people to bet on LeBron James or Kevin Durant or anybody. Scottie Barnes with the Raptors, but Jontay Porter, it doesn't make sense. He's also a really interesting case where his brother Michael Porter Jr. is on the Denver Nuggets. He's the more talented of the two, but Jontay, growing up, had some knee injuries. He almost retired from basketball, so he's battled his way back to the NBA, got a shot with the Toronto Raptors earlier this year. And now, because of this, his entire career could be over because you can't trust someone who's pulling himself out of games because you're trying to win. He allegedly is trying to profit for himself or anyone else who's betting on his performance.
I do like the thought, though, of him trying to rig the game one way and the refs are trying to rig it another way.
It's a comedy of errors.
Yeah, it's like a back and forth. It's like, no, that was in. I didn't know it was an air ball. No, you got that was a swish. Thanks, Dev.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.